series called Seasons of Grace. And this morning, you'll be pleased to hear we're looking at, first of all, the first season we're looking at is autumn, most appropriately. And I don't know if any of you are out this morning, but it was beautiful. I was watching the geese fly across the sky and just the freshness of the air this morning. And we had that frost a few weeks back, and so the leaves are going really going red, and just some really beautiful things in autumn. It's a real season of change and transformation. Change and transformation. Lots of it going on as everything. My brother lives in Panama and he really misses the seasons that we have here. That change and transformation in the seasons. But I wonder about us. How good are we at change and transformation of ourselves? To be the person that God created us to be. How good are we changing towards that person, or do we not really change at all as we go older, whether we're old or young? You see, one of the reasons we don't like change, one of the reasons that we quite often resist change of ourselves, is because our identity is linked with the change. And we like to stay in control of our identity. And this is because we're a little insecure about our identity and who we are. And so that idea of change and transformation is slightly threatening to our identity and who we are at core. So what we do is we control the external things to hide from the internal things going on. So things like our home, or our clothes, or our car, or our job, or in sometimes even church. Or for those of you who use Facebook and Instagram, we use that to put an outward persona to hide what's really going on inside us and our own insecurity outside. And if you want to test how secure you are about your own identity, how much are you willing to be changed and challenged about who you are, and to what extent do you resist? When I take funerals, one of the key questions I ask the family is, how will you remember that person? What's the one thing about that person that you'll really remember? And I wonder what people would say about you and I, or whether you just try and hide from that. But it's good sometimes, isn't it, to ask, what is the core of who we are? What is the personality that's God given us? Not the person next to us, not our partners, not our friends, not the people in the workplace or school, but who are you? And who will, and what will people, how do people perceive you? Are you okay about being the person and not being the life and soul of the party, but being a quiet person? Are you okay about that? Are you okay about who you are? You see, sometimes we have no safe place and no safe security. And this tends to make us simply hide who we truly are or fear who we truly are, because it feels like we're all out at sea. If you can imagine yourself out at sea, just on a boat, right out there, a little tiny raft, anywhere you can see it on that sea there. And we feel like that. No real guidance, no real direction, no shore to go to. And so we just kind of freeze in the headlights when it comes to our identity. And when a storm comes, then we're completely lost. We get thrown backwards and forwards, and we get really scared, and we have no identity or reference point. And God can be our lighthouse to us. He can say, here are the rocks, and there is the shore. Come ashore to security. And there we can find security in who we are, and we can let go of the externals and look to God for direction, and look to God for who we were meant to be and who we were created to be, so don't hide it. Well, all that is so completely relevant to our Bible reading, and if you look on your sheet, you can follow it. Because here we have this young ruler, And it just identifies him as a ruler. A certain ruler, verse 18, asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what that means is, this is so important a question, a great question, because it's saying, am I connected enough to God to go to heaven? Because he knows he obeys all the rules, because in that conversation with Jesus, he says, I obey all the rules, I do all the things I need to do, you know, tick the boxes, pray, read the Bible, go to church, all those things, or what it was, a Jewish life in his time, give money. And he knows he does all these things, so he's just kind of going, well, but God sees this barrier between him and God. He sees this thing which is holding him back from God, and therefore holding him back from eternity with God, holding him back from heaven. This is the barrier. You see, he tells him he's got to, and his barrier is a love of money. And you quite often hear, the root of all evil is money. Wrong quote. The root of all evil is the love of money. Money is not problematic, it's a real blessing. But the love of money is a curse, because you can't love two people. You can't love God and money. And by the way, you can't love God and, you can't love money and your family, because it'll divide you. If you love God, God gives you the ability to love your family. But if you love money, it'll be a blockage to both God and your family. This love of money, and he says, this is a barrier. So it's not that Jesus had a sudden building project which he needed this man's money for, and therefore he was trying to persuade him to give all his money to, give all your money to me so I can have this nice building project or whatever else it is. He's interested in the man. We often think about money when we ask for money in church. We often think that it's all about, because the church needs money, oh, I've got to give to money to keep sustaining either your regular giving or your one-off giving, we think it's all about the fact that the church needs money. It's not. It's all about you and God setting you free to be the person you're meant to be, because all our money belongs to God anyway. You see, it says in verse 26 and 27, those who heard this said, "Who can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." So you're impossible in your life, whatever it is, maybe your financial situation, it seems impossible. You're looking at money rather than in God. Or for your own identity, you think, I could never be the person I'm meant to be. I'm so broken inside, I can't mend this. And no, you can't. But God can. Don't put your hope in something other than God. Don't put your hope in money when God is the only one who can complete your identity and make you the person that he, after all, created you to be. And when it comes to money, all your money belongs to God. He gave it to you, and therefore it belongs to him anyway. You see, I haven't got a picture of this, actually. I meant to get a picture of this. My mum grew up in Indonesia, and she's got lots of Indonesian puppets, shadow puppets. I meant to get a picture, but I forgot. And they are so beautiful. They're like gold and black, and they're painted, and they've got like little sticks, and you put them up, and they cast these beautiful shadows, and they do these great big dramas with these shadow puppets. And they're beautiful to look at. But they are still puppets, controlled by whoever's controlling them. And the danger is we're the same. We can look good on the outside, but we end up just being puppets to money. Luke, who we've looked at today, said 10% of all his things were, all that he wrote was about money. And it's not, Jesus didn't really have any money. He just lived as he went along and trusted in the generosity of the people around him. But Luke spoke about money, not because the church needed money, not because Jesus needed money, but because money can keep you from God if it's not handled well. There's a real danger. And remember I said about that, the young man, he says, well, look, I've kept all these since I was a boy in verse 21. I've done all this, which presumably means he gave some money away. And he looked after, ticked all the rules that God had gave him. But God wants to get to the root of this How are you with money? Do you have a love of money? Do you have an insecurity in yourself which is related to money? How do we know we love money? Well, one way might be worry. If you spend a lot of time worrying about money, now don't get me wrong, there are occasions when we all worry about money. But if you worry a lot about money all the time, then you probably, it's a sign that you're not trusting God, the creator of the universe, to look after his precious, precious children. If you argue a lot about money, that's a sign too that somebody is not trusting in God completely. Now, you might have the odd argument or whatever about money, and it's supposedly it's the thing we argue most about in couples is money. Thankfully, it's not an issue for Joe and I. We haven't got a lot to argue about. Or another warning is if you store a lot of money. Now, I'm not talking about wise savings. Savings, very good, very wise. I'm talking about stashing large sums of money, which will only be released when you die, and then you'll have to give it up. And that was this man's problem. He was putting his hope and his security and his identity in money. Another thing more common today is people who spend a lot of money. They spend, and you can, and this is linked, if you like, to borrowing a lot. They quite often will borrow money. So in other words, they'll have credit cards and loans, not for the essentials, but for extras. And they have credit cards. If that's you, can I encourage you to go on the CAP course? It gives you lots of wisdom, the CAP money course, about such things. All these things, if these really do prevail in your life, then can I suggest that money is not the problem or the solution? Look to God to be the solution. It isn't that you have lack money or that you need to spend more or whatever. Ultimately, is you need to trust in God. Because God, this God who created the universe, he loves you so much. Don't be like the man who, when he heard this, he said, verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. It suggests that, not certain, but that he wasn't willing to give up his wealth for God. And for some of us, that will be the case. We won't be willing to let go of money and let God control our identity. But for some of us, I hope we will. It might reveal who or what controls your money or identity. Who or what controls your money or identity? Is it you or is it God? So as we come to look at transformation now at the end of this, we go back to the autumn. When you meet God face to face, there's a question there for you. But I want to take you back, first of all, to that question about your funeral. Who are you? What will people say about you? What is the core of who you are? And secondly, I haven't said this before, but when you get to heaven, what kind of conversation might you have to God about your money? I bought all these things, God. Do you think that'll impress God? I stored all this money up. I had all these credit cards. I wonder if your identity reveals something about the way we live, and our money does too. So number three, how much, this is what you need to ask God. It's a risky thing to say, but it's kind of the difference between holding on and letting go. Ask God this question. Heavenly Father, you gave me everything. What would you like me to do with everything that you gave me? All my possessions. What would you like me to do with it in terms of giving regularly or a one-off gift? What would you like me to do? Who would you like me to give it to? Don't be like the man who held on to it and went away sad. And many of us in life end up way too sad, broken because they haven't let go of their finances to God and just said, God, I trust you with my identity, with my money, with my life. And it is an eternal question. It's an eternal question. Don't let it be a barrier to God for being the person God created you to be. Amen. We're going to sing a song of the band.